Whatever befalls thee of gloom and sorrow is the result of irreverence and insolence withal. Anyone behaving with irreverence in the path of the friend is a brigand who robs men, and he is no man. Through discipline, this heaven has been filled with light, and through discipline, the angels became immaculate and holy. By reason of irreverence, the sun was eclipsed, and insolence caused an Azazel to be turned back from the door.
Okay, that was the paragraph.
Beauty.
Very simple. Again, some little details to be mentioned for translation, because there are some part of the text that cannot be translated. The rhyme, the musicality, and the choice of words. The word which is used mainly in this paragraph is Ada. Alef Dal Be. You will see that it is three characters. Plural of it will be Adab, which means ritual. Adab means politeness. You see? So there are two meanings in one word. And he plays with this word knowingly. That word will be repeated several times in Persian. When I read it, you will notice it. But in English, it is translated to a couple of different words. Sometimes it is the politeness, sometimes it is the
discipline,
self-control, all of that. All are adab, and Rumi is using this Arabic word in Persian word. He will say, be adab. That is not Arabic, the Arabs don't understand. That be means without. He will say, be adab. He will not use the adab, the word that he wants you to find out. He will use this adab in different words, because the opposite of it, he doesn't want to give the impression of an impoliteness. He will connect it to some attitude, which is, first is gustakhi. Gustakhi is a very complicated Persian word which means misbehaving, being very brave actually, but passing the limit somehow. Daring is in it, but it's not only daring, because daring could be good, but gustakhi is always negative. Because in Persian word, it comes from someone who is facing the willing of the goodness in the sky or something like that. He uses that word. And the other word is to somehow give you a very bad feeling about this attitude that you have logically. Logically, first of all, whatever is presented to you, what do you do? Be honest, in your imagination. Whatever is handed to you, you imagine a better one. And you could. Therefore, you are never grateful. Never ever. This is what you do with the soul gifted to you, isn't it? Even with your body, you're doing the same. Because this is the attitude of the logic. Logic shouldn't care about what they have. Logic should care about what they need. And what they need more is better. And save for tomorrow. That's what the logic is. That's an attitude, right? These are two things that you should put a stop to. You will remember these two little stories we told you. And inshallah, sometime one of the, if you're lucky enough, you have a peer, that peer could use this story to change your attitude, to show it to you when you're thinking this way, you say, this is like that, look at it. Then you shouldn't need more explanation and think, because now you learn there are two attitudes that you should quit right at the beginning. which are the logical attitude in every animal. First is to look at the empty part of the cup. Because if you don't like it, the cup could be empty. Kill yourself. Kill yourself, because first of all, it will be better for the rest of us. You will do the rest of us a favor. Secondly, you're using the only power that you have. No animal has. That one even you know. Even the non-believers, they know that. Human being is the only animal who could kill her or himself. Right? Use that right. If not, remember, this is something offered to you, and it's the worthiest thing that we know. But do you find yourself really being grateful? I'm not talking about being happy that you're alive. That's the animal part. I'm not talking about the other one. The other one that you don't even recognize, maybe. It's there, right? So, first attitude is be grateful for what you have. Because what you're looking for, the animal one, could not be given to you. Could not. Remember the example? The example of being Mozart? Who wants to be Mozart? Who envies the Mozart? You envy the Mozart? He died at age 35, 33, and he lived miserably. You envy that one? No. You know what? You know what they like? People, look at the Mozart, like that one. We applaud for him, he wants that one. You don't want to go through the pain he went. Even when he was creating the music, you don't want that one. That's the logic. That's why we say, put it outside. Because for that one, it's very easy for intelligence. The easiest thing for intelligence is to lie. Lying is the basic trick of life. The animals are living on it. Even in these claims are those lies. You don't know it. You don't envy the Mozart. You want that fame and fortune related to Mozart. That life, nobody could. You know who could bear really that life? Mozart, no one else. That's how it is. So, don't look at the part that in your imagination you could imagine to have that advantage. Let me tell you, lady, if now I had a magic and I didn't like you, I would have given it to you. To have the fame of Mozart, and you will enjoy it for a month. After a month, every single day you wake up, there are zoom and cameras to your house, and you want a vacation from all that fame. Even that one you don't want it to have. You want to experience that for a joyride, maybe. Because now fame comes with a cost. You will have no privacy. You want to have your privacy and the fame of Mozart, right? And you know what? Tonight, if you're watching the Lakers competition, you want to be one of those guys who is dunking the ball. You want everything. Look at you. Because whatever is described good, you want to have it, no matter what. Okay. Ask for all of that, but the happiness doesn't come from something you don't have. Happiness comes from the thing that you have. That's the source first. Secondly, I'm talking about this moment only, because happiness is now. You cannot save happiness, and you cannot postpone it. All of you, you're postponing happiness. Let me give you a very good example. Some of you, I hope not all of you, are received even an email accordingly that are waiting for this sixth book to be finished, then be happy and do something. Yes, I received an email that with the pace you are going, maybe we will not survive it. I didn't know, I'll try not to let you survive it. Because for us, there is no ending. Because ending comes with the beginning. And honestly, we don't know where the beginning is. Where is the beginning of you? You tell me, where is it? When is the beginning of you?